All right, so we have Brandy tonight, who has so graciously agreed to share with us on the doctor's opinion. Are you okay to be recorded, Brandy?
Yes.
All right, thank you. So we look forward to hearing you. Take it away.
Thanks. Brandy, I am sorry, my computer is a little hold on. Brandy, I am a recovered chaos creator, controller, fixer, and still recovering from self. So I'm a selfaholic. I just want to start with a set aside prayer. God, enable me to set aside everything I think I know for an open mind, an open heart, and a new experience. Let me see the truth about what you'd have me say. So, the doctor's opinion is in step one, right? And so, step one goes for a while, and we're actually just finished, just started into there's a solution in the workshop that I'm in right now. And, step one is that I admitted I am powerless over insert your addiction. So for me, I am powerless over believing my mind and my emotions and my addiction to self, to the self-selfaholic, that my life had become unmanageable. And so in this part of the doctor's opinion, we're looking at the physical craving, right? The physical craving of my body. The first step begins here. This is what we've transcribed on page XXV at the top, if you want to follow along in your book. And so we start by using the doctor's opinion as a tool by turning statements into questions to look at what happens to me after I, and you insert your addiction for me, identify with my mind. And my emotions, right? Nothing to do with what I'm quote unquote thinking at the time is what they say. It's a little different when you're recognizing that. Like for me, I've recognized that the moment I can have a thought and the thought can be fine. But the moment that I believe the thought as truth, when the thought is not truth, so. The moment I have a thought that's not in this moment, like it's a past thing or it's a future thing or it's some of it's just these preferences that I've developed over the years as strategic coping mechanisms to survive a hard childhood, right? So these things that I found that affect my physical body, they had reasons at some point, right? There's a rattlesnake and the snake jumps in and I should have the thought that's dangerous. It's gonna bite me or it could. And I should have adrenaline to get out of the way and not get bit. But my brain along the way, what I realized through the doctor's opinion is that my brain along the way hung on to all of these things so tightly and got, I don't know, confused, addicted to, just addicted to, but it created confusion. Got addicted to the reactions that happen in my physical body when I start to believe all these thoughts that are all based on a filter that's no longer true. Like the filter doesn't exist anymore. Those things don't exist anymore. So before I rattle on too much, I'll get into the book a little more. So they're asking us if we need a doctor's opinion to try to convince us, right? Like, do we need someone who's got the word doctor in front of them to help make it truth, right? Convincing testimony. Must be surely had from a doctor, it says on the top of page XXV. For those of us that have experienced the sufferings of those addicted to self and have witnessed our return to health. And the question for us to ponder is, would that be helpful for me, right? And for my mind, yeah, my mind wants to know that there's some kind of science behind these things. And Sure enough, science has caught up, which is pretty cool about all the neurochemicals and things. You can go down a whole path about what happens to our bodies when we go into these states with our thinking, our emotions, triggers, traumas. There's lots of words for it. So if we go on down, it says, "Am I?" So here he talks about when he's working with these alcoholics, selfaholics, whatever, insert your addiction. Am I, the pondering question for us to consider is, am I regarded as hopeless? And then the definition of hopeless is I want to quit, but can't. And I look at this and where I am right now, and it's like, yeah, like I am very well aware of my past, my upbringing. I'm very aware of trauma. I'm very aware of triggers. I'm very aware of all these things. But it's like, I'm kind of addicted, not kind of, I am. I am addicted to all of it. Like, I'm addicted to that loop, that neural loop that likes to get started. And once it's started, it's just running and it runs through my body in this very physical way. For me, it shows up as like anxiousness, like this electricity just running all through my body. It's frantic feeling. It's hard to breathe. And someone might say it's anxiety, but it feels when it's happening and rushing, it feels much deeper than just being anxious alone. And my body got addicted. My body, my brain, like I am definitely f physically different. That's what we're gonna look at here as well. And then it goes on to ask us later, am I the type with whom every method I tried had failed completely? Is there anything else? And the I here is the little I, the self, right? Like the little ego, this jacket and suit that I've put on, has that Brandy tried everything in her power? Yeah. I've done EMDR, I've done hypnosis, I've done behavioral talk therapy, I've done mindfulness, I've done meditation retreats, I've done NLP, I've done a bunch of energy work stuff, I've done holistic healing hands and prayers, I've done yoga retreats, like all of these things. Not to say that there weren't things I learned from them and learned about the self, but I think it's a journey. And at some point, which we learn later, is that knowledge will avail me not, right? Like at some point, the answer is not knowing more about this little self Brandy, but getting deeper to the big I, capital S self that is not Brandy, who is actually working through Brandy and having this experience. Some call it the soul, some call it the Atma, some call it God consciousness. Others say that the God within you, right? In the Bible, it says the kingdom of heaven, it lies within. And it's interesting because there's so many spiritual practices that are telling us the same thing the big book says, is that the answer lies within, right? Deeper than this like ego that has put on this suit and is acting in responses to all these preferences that have been developed. Preferences, you could say, are defects, whatever word you want to use. They've been developed to protect this suit in this world that she, incarnated in. Okay, so then it goes on to the next page, XXVI. Am I willing to believe that this book has a remedy for me? Heck yeah. Hope so, right? And all the eyes that it's talking to is the ego. Because the self is whole, like the actual capital S, capital I am, right? That's already okay and untouched. It's this gap between the I am, capital I, the big capital self, the soul, the immortal being inside me. It's the gap between that and the little S self that I'm trying to find the bridge through this program, right? Like to open up whatever muck is in the middle so that I can be of better service to God and I can experience what God has for me to experience in this life. God has such greatness for us to experience, and my mind gets in the way. I was just finishing up Bill's story and was talking about after he had his spiritual experience, and this isn't doctor's opinion, but after he had his spiritual experience in the Catholic Church, he let all of the noise of the world, the calamity of the world, which was more so within. So he alludes to it right there, that like the problem in lies inside me, right? The next question, and this is a must on that same page, is do I believe that my body is quite as normal as my mind after the first thought that I take, after that first belief? And it's not a regular thought, because I've realized that I have thoughts that pass through and they don't trigger my preference. They don't trigger that sense of duality, that character defect, like whatever it is, and they just pass on. But then there are ones that's like I have Velcro on me and I'm the hook of the Velcro, and these guys are just floating by and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna hook that one. Yeah, I hook that one. And then when I take a bite, I physically go down this neural loop, someone might call it a trauma map, a pain map. At this point, that's in neuroscience, these things that have come out. But I would call this my self map, like the ego map, the little self. So you could say the ego map, the little self, the little I, whatever you want to call it. But that map in my brain that's connected to whatever that thought was, be it how I was brought up in a childhood, be it an abusive experience, be it, whenever it is that first moment I thought I had to start controlling the world so that everything would feel better inside, right? So part of what I see I'm doing as they're showing me is that the first step, and that's what the doctor's opinion really is about, is, and I don't mean first step of the program, but like the first step is for me to gain awareness that one, this is going on within me, and two, that there's another way. Something else could be happening or could be different, right? So it goes on and says, do I believe these things were true to some extent? In fact, to a considerable extent with me, right? Oh, sorry, the statement I should say before is, it did not satisfy me to be told that I could not control my thinking or my emotions just because I was maladjusted to life, or that I were in full flight from reality, or outright mental defective, or that I just can't control them because you've been in this abusive experience, or that you have PTSD, or whatever label they want to put on it. You have OCD, or, is that, did that satisfy me? Like, you have PTSD, you have OCD, you have mental problems, you've got anxiety, right? Like, do I believe that these things were true to some extent? Sure, I lived that life. Sure, there's definitely a nervous system experience going on. But to some extent, but in fact, a considerable extent with me. So yes, but I think there's more to this than just this that I don't have. How do I say this? I'm going to move on to the next part because it's not going to come out right. Do I believe that my body was sickened as well? Do I believe that any picture of me, the selfaholic, which leaves out the physical factor, feels incomplete? Definitely. Because once I've hooked, my Velcro has hooked onto one of those thoughts, or an experience, or something I see happen in front of me. Once I hook on, my body goes in to its own thing. And I was on this meeting last week, and there was nothing I could do about my body. And I'm grateful for a reach out from Judah. Thank you. Because I had to surrender that experience. And it was so interesting because I was so uncomfortable with all the emotions and the neural loops that were happening. And I was just watching them. At this point in my recovery, I have awareness that it almost felt was a curse last week. Like, it's like, I'm aware that this thing's happening. I'm aware that that comes from whatever talk. That awareness availed me not when I was a complete shamble and really not able to function for a little bit because there was so much emotions and so much just energy traveling throughout my body. And what I realized was that my suffering, after talking with Judith, thank you, my suffering only came because I hooked onto it. I was hooking onto the experience as it was happening instead of just surrendering the experience to God and saying, yeah, I know I have a physical craving and I know I have these loops that run through me. Do I have control over them? No. Do I have the space to break down right now? Blessing of God, yes, I do.
So,
And
excuse
oh,
me,
that's
Barbara,
time.
is that time
Bye.
time?
Okay, thanks. I didn't see
Bye.
the 5 minute. Thank you, Barbara. So the blessing that I realized with that step one experience that I had last week again was that my physical craving, when it gets triggered, it gets triggered. And what I realized for me was that once I surrendered to God, okay, this is where you'd have me be. I'm wet, ready and willing for it to move through and play out. I'm aware that I don't have to try to fix the position I'm in. I'm aware that I don't have to behave something differently. And the blessing was that God gave me space to do that. I didn't have any responsibilities during that day. And miraculously, within, it started coming down. And things kept moving, allowing them to go, the emotions and the thoughts, surrendering them to God over and over. And within the next 24, 48 hours, God provided another solution that was not to suppress them, but to allow me to sit and allow them to move. And that's the miracle of this program, because I could have. Actually, I could have, I would have in the past tried to fix all the things that were happening to me, which in the end, always in the past, has ended up in suppression and ended up spiraling that physical loop, that adrenaline and cortisol, because it's not getting better. I better try this. And I'm frantically running to try to fix something that doesn't need to be fixed, it just needs to be allowed to occur. I hope that that made some sense. I know we didn't make it too far into the doctor's opinion, but the physical craving as and the unmanageability of step one that we see in the doctor's opinion, it's so vital to for me as a in the human experience to have experienced that in order for the mind and the little self to surrender and surrender over to the big self. Thanks for listening. I look forward to hearing you guys talk about the doctor's opinion.